Good morning. Is this working? Can I congratulate Drumrea Presbyterian Church on having a mic that fits my head? Usually there is an issue. Is there a clicker? Hold on. Oh, there we are. Right. Now let's just make sure I can get this right before I start. There we are. Okay. Well done. I have noticed a few things today. First of all, this is the serious one. I genuinely feel really, really, really encouraged. And this is why, not just because you guys have been up here doing things and doing it lovely, but actually I'm encouraged because the story of church today is that in 20, 30, 40 years' time, the church is going to be far less than what it is. If we can invest in our kids the way you guys have, I don't think that's going to happen. So I don't think it's on the decline. You're seeing up today, not only, well, they're the church of today, but they're the leaders of the church of tomorrow. And that has been really, really encouraging. The second thing is you have a far better outfit choices than me and my wife. And third of all, there was three boys. Now, where can I find them? They had glasses on. All of them had glasses. Three boys. Put your hands up. You're wearing white. There you are. See these three, okay? Lift your leg up, okay? Everyone needs to see it, so you need to there's only two. See these two fellas here? If you look after them, can you come and speak to me either after? Because you've either been to Sports Direct yesterday to get new socks, or yous are magicians. I cannot keep my white socks clean, and these guys here, pristine, so I've been very, very impressed. Guys, my name's Lewis. I'm a new worker in Ballycastle. I can still call myself new because 4 months, yeah? Is that fair enough? Yeah. The other thing is I'm no longer a young person. I know. Usually what you had is people saying, you know, about young people coming and speaking, and Lewis is a young person who's coming to speak in church. And in the prayer meeting this morning, a young person wasn't mentioned. So I'm no longer a young person. I've got a game, boys and girls. Do you think you can play this? Yeah? So on the screen, what's going to come up is we're going to come up a zoomed-in photo of a character or a person. The first one I want to say, you have to be under the age of 5 to get this one, okay? So if you're 5, you can't answer. You might know who it is. Don't shout it out because you'll give the answer to someone else. So if you're 1, 2, 3, or 4 and can speak, hopefully, or if your mummy and daddy can shout it out for you, if you whisper to them and you can shout out, then you can guess this one. So here's the first one. Who's that? You can just about see it. Who is it? Shout it out. Who is it? It's Bluey! Who loves Bluey? Yeah. Here's a wee secret. I haven't watched Bluey yet. So I haven't, but there's Bluey. Okay, this next one, if you are 8, you can't answer this one. So if you're 8 and over, you can't answer this next one. Okay, so you have to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 to answer this one. He's ready? These guys are all standing up. They're like, he's keen, you ready? You ready? Yeah. Who's that? Who's that? Put your hands up. Yes, who is it? It's Buzz Lightyear. Wow. Okay, next one. If you are 11 and over, you can't answer. So I think that's probably the P7s and above can't answer this one. Who's that? This is a hot, whoa, I'm really impressed. Okay, the guy in the yellow t-shirt with the glasses. Steve. Okay, hands up if you know who Steve is. Okay, we have a few. Does anyone know who Steve is? Yeah. Boys and girls, what is the phrase that we all know Steve by? I am Steve. Or what's the other one? Chicken jockey. Who knows what that means? But this is Steve. Steve is, you might know him from School of Rock, maybe if you grew up with that one, which my generation. These guys all know him as Steve. From the Minecraft movie. Haven't watched it yet. Being honest, haven't watched it. Okay. This next one is for anybody. So this is for anybody. Anybody can answer. Are you ready? Who's that? Do we know who it is? Ross, best player in the world, isn't he? Yeah, he has to admit it. Even a Liverpool fan has to admit that. It's brilliant. That's Ronaldo. Exactly. Exactly. All of these people, we got to get a zoomed in picture. Do you like Ronaldo? Yeah. That's okay. See all these people. What we've done is we've got a zoomed in picture of who the person is. And then by that zoomed in picture, we're able to tell who they are. The question today is, who is he? Who is Jesus? Over the last few months, and I know you did a story in the middle of all this, but over the last few months, you have been discovering a wee bit about who Jesus says he himself is. Here we are. Okay, if you are Lauren, Thomas, Charlie, Amelia, Phoebe, Keely, Robbie, or Ricky Ella, Ricky Ella? Yeah, I've got that right. You are not allowed to answer this. Because I took a sneak peek thinking the memory verses were on the screen at the back. And they weren't on the screen on the back. They genuinely recited them. So well done. So you can't answer this one because you already know them. What are the seven things Jesus said he is? Okay, we've got our first one. Have we got a laser? No, that's okay. What's the one at the very top? What is it? What have we got? The light of the... They are close, close. Where are we here now? World, exactly. There's the light of the world. Jesus said he was the light of the world. Okay, what about, see to the right of it, there's the green thing. What is that one? Yellow top, Levi's top? The vine. I am the vine. You are the branches. Brilliant, well done. Okay, to the right of that, we've got something that we use every day. What is it? It's opening a door. Jesus says, I am the door for the sheep. Brilliant. Okay, what about at the very bottom? What is that one? What is it, first of all? No, not yet. At the very bottom, it's a tomb, yes. Okay, what do we think when we see a tomb? We think about Jesus doing something. And what does he say, girl in the white t-shirt? He rose from the dead. That is given a big word. I am the Shout it out. Resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. Okay, what about the tick? What do you think that represents? I am. No, not quite. Not quite. I am the. It's three things. The. Way. Yeah. The truth and the. Brilliant. Brilliant. Right at the very top, my wife's a baker. What is she working with? I am the. Bread of life, exactly. And the final one, who said it here? I am what type of shepherd? Is he a bad shepherd? The good shepherd, exactly. These are all things Jesus has to say. And yet, in the Bible, people are still asking the question, who is he? Who is this man? Even Jesus had said this in the Bible, and they had seen the things he had done, they still had the question, who is this man? Who is this man who forgives sins? Who is this man who can heal? Who is this man who can calm the storm? Who is he? And that doesn't stop in the Bible. Today, even when we've got everything that Jesus has done, even though we see Jesus' work and the work of the Father in our lives, people still have this question. Who is he? We're going to look today. Is it Maya? Yeah, Maya read for us. Yeah, thank you. It was great. I loved the fact you read from your own Bible. So did. So I really, really loved that. Maya read for us, and she set the scene today. We're going to the cross. Now, a while back, we celebrated Easter, and we were at the cross, and we got to see all the story of Easter and the story of the cross and Jesus dying on the cross. But the story of the cross and the story of Easter has something really important to tell us about who Jesus is. There's three passages up there. I was going to read them all, I was going to get used to read them, but I don't want to take up too much of your time. I'm going to read some of these passages, and they've got something to tell us about who Jesus is. Kids, if you've got a Bible, you can open it. Parents, if you've got a Bible, it would be great if you could open it. Teenagers, if you've got one, open it. Because what it means is it's not just me saying it. When you read it from Scripture, you know that it is actually God's word. And it's not just the person standing at the front saying these things. So we're going to go to the book of Luke. Luke was a very smart man and he recorded loads and loads of tiny details. Going to Luke chapter 23, so the big number 23, and then the small number 39 to 43. Okay, I'm going to read from verse 39. Are you listening carefully? Switch your ears on. Switch them on. Good, good. You were quick at that. Then one of the criminals hanging there began to yell insults at him. That's Jesus. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. An inscription was above him. This is the King of the Jews. Then one of the criminals hanging there began to yell insults at him. Aren't you? Sorry. But the other answered, rebuking him, don't you even fear God since you are undergoing the same punishment? We are punished justly because we're getting back what we deserve for the things we have done. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, I tell you this, today you will be with me in paradise. The first thing is that this man, this criminal on a cross, someone who had done wrong, who deserved to be in the position he was in, he deserved to be killed for what he had done. This man recognized Jesus. And when people were asking, who is he? What is this big question, who is he? The man on the cross, the man who was in the very same position as Jesus, recognized that Jesus was a savior. That Jesus was the only one who could save him, not from being on the cross. One of the thieves said, oh, come on, get us down. But the other one said, no, I deserve to be here. This is done and all already. But what isn't done is I haven't died yet. And so he said, Jesus, save me. And what did Jesus say? Well, yes, I'll save you. You believe me? You believe in me? You've asked for forgiveness today. You'll be with me in paradise, and not like Hawaii, not like something in this world, but something totally different. So Jesus, on the cross, we learn that Jesus is the Savior. Second of all, Matthew chapter 27. If you want to find that, it is the first book in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John are the first four Gospels, or first four books that come along. Matthew chapter 27. And this is what it's got to say in verse 51. To 54. Suddenly the curtain of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. One of my favorite verses is this. Torn in two from top to the bottom. The rocks were split. The tombs were also opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised to life. And they came out of the tombs, and after this resurrection, entered the holy city and appeared to many. Listen carefully. When the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they were riffed and said, truly, this man is the Son of God. One of the soldiers who was there that day said, this man, I've seen this. I'm probably the one who put the nail in his hands. I'm the reason he's up there. And he said, this man must be the Son of God. Because of all the stuff that happened, when the curtain torn in two, when the rock split, when people who believed in Jesus of the saints were raised to life, the centurion who was a part of the Roman army, the most unlikely candidate there that day, said, surely this is the Son of God. So Jesus is the Savior. He is the Son of God. And finally, in 31 to 37, we read this. After they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe, put his clothes on him, and led him away to crucify him. As they were going out, they found a Cyrenian man named Simon. They were forced him to carry his cross. When they came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, they gave him wine mixed with gall to drink. But when he tasted it, he refused to drink. And after crucifying him, they divided his clothes by casting lots, gambling for them. Then they sat down, and they were guarding him there. Above his head, they put a charge against him, writing this. This is Jesus. The name Jesus means the one who will save. And they wrote above his head, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." On the cross, at that scene, we learn three things. Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Savior, not only to the thief on the cross, but to the whole world. And he's the King of the Jews. Jesus tells a parable of a great feast. He tells this feast of a king, and he says, "Go out to to my people and bring them in for this great feast." But the king's people didn't listen. And then the king sends out his servants again and says, "Go out to everyone and bring them in." And still people don't listen. They make excuses, they still don't listen. And finally he says, "Go to anyone," not everyone, but anyone. The lowly, the ones who are on the streets, the people who are the lowest in society, go to them and bring them into this feast. And what do? The people would come. Jesus is not all these things, the three things, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and the King of the Jews tell us something really important about Jesus today. Who is he? Well, he's not just the King of the Jews. He's not just the Son. He's not just the Savior. He is the King of Kings. And he's the King of Kings because of what happened on the cross. Today, he is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Your first song that you sang spoke something about this, that he is the King of Kings. He's the one who came from heaven, died, rose again. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father. It says that in Acts chapter 2, in that great sermon that Peter preaches, it tells us that he's ascended into heaven and he sits at the right hand of the Father. And in Revelation chapter 17, that very final book of the Bible, it says this, that he will come back and on his thigh it will be written, "The King of all kings and the Lord of lords." Jesus is above everything. Jesus is the best. And the Bible tells us that Jesus not only is the one who saves, but he is the one who is bringing in a new creation. He with the Father and the power of the Spirit and the Spirit, they are bringing in a new heaven and a new earth. I think sometimes we really overcomplicate the Bible. It becomes very difficult. We start using massive words and big words that I don't understand, never mind use. We overcomplicate it. In fact, a pastor, he's an American pastor. I wouldn't take everything he says as great, but one of the things he says that I've held on to from when I was a teenager is that the gospel and the story of the Bible is shallow enough for a child to paddle in, but deep enough for someone to scuba dive in. The gospel is so simple to understand for even kids today. We see that in how they have recited memory verses and learned about God, but it's deep enough for us all to go scuba diving in and to never find the end or the bottom of it. We oversimplified, and yet one of the songs we sang just before there is a song that I'm sure all of us know. "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong." And in the final verse, it talks about bringing children back to heaven with him. Sometimes that might be physical children. But for those who believe, that's what Jesus has come to do. He has come to bring his children back to heaven with him. And we can rejoice in that we are saved by the blood of Jesus because he is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and not only the King of the Jews, but he is the King of all kings because of what he has done on the cross and because he has risen from the dead. Isn't that a great story? It would be a great story if that was the end of it, but it's not. Because after those last verses in Matthew 27, there's one whole chapter left. And the very last words of the book of Matthew say this: "Go, therefore," therefore means in the Bible, if you ever say it, therefore means because of everything that's happened before, now do this. So because of everything that's happened before in Jesus' life, because of the cross, because he has risen from the dead, and we can be happy about that, he then says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, Jesus doesn't just give a command, but he says, remember, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. And so if you are sitting in the front row today and you believe in Jesus and you say, yes, Jesus is my savior. He's my best friend. He is the person who I want to follow. Then even yous have to tell people about Jesus. That can be scary. That can be hard. But Jesus is with you. Whether you're P7 or in high school, that is scary. I know. It is terrifying when someone asks you here, do you not go to church? Absolutely terrifying. But you have to go. There's no ifs or buts. There's no go make disciples unless it's really scary or unless your life's in danger or unless, no, it says go and make disciples of all nations from every tribe and tongue, no matter what color their skin is or where they're from. You have to go and make disciples. And adults, Children's Sunday, we don't get off easy. Isn't that true? We have to get the socks white for them. But the command is the same. Go and make disciples of all nations because of what Jesus has done. The good news story. Paul is a perfect example in the Bible. Paul had was going to kill Christians, to put them out of their homes, to destroy their churches. And then in meeting Jesus, in understanding what he has to say and what this good news story, Paul could do nothing else but to go. It ended up him being shipwrecked or beat up or put in prison or killed eventually. But he didn't whimper away from it. He says, go. And that command is the same today. Go and make disciples of all nations. Go and make disciples of your bosses, of your colleagues, of your school friends, of the people who you play out in the street with. You're to go and make disciples of all nations. And it's not just for Drumrea Church or Ballycastle Presbyterian Church or any church. It's for each and every Christian, each and every believer who is here today. To go and make disciples. And we are to go because he is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And we go knowing that we have got something to teach and that he will go with us and he will be with us always, even to the very end of the age. Sorry, I went beyond that. Apologies. The gospel is simple. You're a sinner. You need saving. Jesus is the only one who can do that. And because he has done that, you're invited into a family of believers. And we as a Presbyterian church celebrate that quite evidently when we come up here and there's a baptism. When two believers promise to raise their child in the way of the word. In the way of Jesus' life and in the way that the Father always meant it to be. If we do that, well, what is our hope? What's the point? If we go and make disciples of all nations, we know Jesus is with us, then what's the end point? Let me finish with this. In Revelation, at the very end of the Bible, it says this, Revelation 21. This is why, this is how, and this is where our end goal is. Then I saw, this is a vision that Paul's seen, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were gone. The sea was no more, the chaos was no more. And I seen a holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband, as someone who's recently happy, or recently married and happy, don't worry. Seeing my bride come down that aisle was an image I'll never forget. I even fist bumped the air, which was caught on camera. The new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. And then I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling is with humanity. and he will live with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, pain will be no more, because the old things have passed away. And then the one seated on the throne said, "Look, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write these words, because they are faithful and true. It is done. It is finished. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will freely give to the thirsty from the spring of the water of life. The one who conquers will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my child." When we go and make disciples, that's what we're doing it for. That one day, every tribe, tongue, and nation will bow before the throne in the new heaven and the new earth. And we will worship God, the eternal Father, with Jesus, the Lamb, the slain Lamb, at his right hand. And we will be his children. If you are not, if you're here today because you've been dragged along because your kids are here, if you've been coming to church for years and there's something that is holding you back, go and find someone. I'm a stranger here. Find someone you know. Find someone who loves you. Find an elder of this church who can walk alongside you. Go to them and talk to them. Have them pray with you. Because what Jesus does to people's lives is he turns them 180, gives them a new purpose, and gives them life, eternal, everlasting. And as in John 10:10 says, life to the full. Because that's where we're meant to be, walking with the Father, just like it was in Eden, and just like it will be in the new heaven and the new earth. Let me pray for you guys, and for everyone else. Let me pray. God, we thank you so much that you are a loving Father. We know that sometimes earthly fathers, even the best of them, mess up. But you are perfect. You are amazing. You are great. You are a loving, perfect, heavenly Father. And God, we thank you that you are the one who calls his children to himself. And God, if there is someone today who is toying with this, who doesn't really know where to go, who is confused by it all, or maybe they just feel like there's something heavy on their heart or on their chest, Lord, would you give them a boldness to go and speak to someone who knows them and loves them? And God, we pray that you will bring them home. Father, we thank you for the children. We thank you that as a church denomination, we value children in the sacrament of baptism. And God, I pray that today we would remember the promises that we have made as a church to each and every one of these children who has been baptized here or in another place, Lord. That we will support and help. We thank you for Sunday school teachers who do this in a spiritual way, Lord. We thank you for parents who look after the physical, spiritual, all the needs of children, Lord. And God, we pray that you would strengthen them in times when it is really, really difficult. We thank you for grandparents and aunts and uncles who step in and help out and sometimes do more than even they should need to be doing, but they do it because they love. And God, I pray for each one of these young children today, Lord. They're the greatest mission field to our young people and children today. They're the greatest missioners to them, Lord. God, would you be with them? Would you help them to give them simple words to explain the gospel, Lord? And Father, I pray that they will continue to grow in faith and in stature here in this church. And so, Father, we pray just as the end of Revelation says, "Come, Lord Jesus, quickly come." And Father, we long for the day when we can rejoice and sit at in the throne room of heaven, where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And we pray this in his mighty name. Amen.